the Caribbean Report.
The world moves closer to war in the Gulf as the talks in Geneva end without agreement. Gloomy predictions for the Caribbean if it fails to speak and act with one voice. And uncertainty surrounds the scheduled first sitting of the Windward Islands Constituent Assembly. I'm Hugh Crosskill, and this is BBC Caribbean Report.
Regrettably, ladies and gentlemen, I heard nothing today that, in over 6 hours, I heard nothing that suggested to me any Iraqi flexibility whatsoever on complying with the United Nations Security Council resolutions.
A somber U.S. Secretary of State James Baker speaking at a press conference in Geneva this evening, shortly after his protracted talks with Iraq's Foreign Minister Tariq Aziz. Mr. Baker revealed that Mr. Aziz refused to accept a letter from the U.S. President George Bush, a letter which repeated warnings about the use of force to remove Iraq from Kuwait if it failed to meet the January 15th deadline for withdrawal. Soon after it was clear that today's talks had failed to avert a possible war in the Gulf, Jamaica's Prime Minister Michael Manley, the current chairman of CARICOM, issued this statement.
We remain firmly committed to the positions which have been declared by the Security Council of the United Nations, including the uncompromising insistence that Iraq must withdraw from Kuwait. We have made it clear through diplomatic channels that while remaining absolutely committed to the principles that are involved, we believe that all possible steps consistent with those principles should be taken to avoid war and to find a basis for a peaceful solution. Meantime, we are taking all possible steps to protect Jamaica and its people from the effects of the crisis and to ensure the fullest national unity in any efforts that may be required.
Prime Minister Michael Manley. And President Bush has spoken of his frustration at the failure of the Geneva talks and the refusal of the Iraqis to accept his letter to President Saddam Hussein. He said he had not given up on peace. The United States would keep searching for it, but he added the United States was going to stay firm in its resolve. Recently, two leading Caribbean economists stated that Jamaica's moves towards the deregulation of the economy will bear little or no fruit unless there is a write-off of Jamaica's massive external debt. That debt now stands at nearly $5 billion U.S. dollars. The cost of servicing that debt is almost $460 million a year. Jamaica and the other heavily indebted countries of the region have been calling for a more sympathetic response to the problem by the United States and the major lending agencies, the IMF and the World Bank. In Washington, Dominican-born Atherton Martin has been seeking to get that message across during his stint with the Development Group for Alternative Policies, an organization set up to review U.S.-Caribbean relations. But Mr. Martin says unless the Caribbean gets its own act together, it will not be taken seriously.
We have, you know, pussyfooted in a way around with the notion of regional cooperation. We're on again, off again, on again, off again. It is now more than time, it seems to me, that we recognize that the resolution to the internal problems of a country like Jamaica rests as much with rationalizing her relationship with the rest of the regional economy as rationalizing her relationship with the World Bank and IMF. The regional market is not as small as we are told it is. If it were so small, these other countries would not be trying to get into it. It is substantial. Close to $1 billion U.S. dollars worth of imports in food and agricultural products alone in the Commonwealth Caribbean. Now, that is a substantial market that countries like Jamaica and others in debt could be tapping into in order to reduce their dependence on foreign currency for business.
But you mentioned then that the homework, the work that needs to be done in the region itself and to really make some hard and fast decisions. Mm-hmm. What sort of a message is this pussyfooting, as you call it, sending to the U.S. authorities with whom you deal?
Well, you see, that you put your finger on one of the things which makes representing Caribbean interests in a capital like Washington most difficult. Because it is clear, even to many of the people in policy here on the U.S. side, that there is a lot of room for regional trade. There is a lot of, you know, logic and sense to the Caribbean trading with itself. Unfortunately, most of the representation that is made up here by various regional governments on their focus on their narrow national interests. In other words, people come to the World Bank and ask for money from the World Bank for their country. People come to USAID for money for AID for their program in their country. And in fact, you know, it is very, very seldom, and I think Mr. Manley stands out as one of the people who remains a champion of regional integration and promoting regional projects, but it is very seldom that leadership comes up here advocating investment of $8 in regional programs. And as long as that continues to happen, it leads policymakers here to believe that what they will have to continue to do is to deal with these countries on a one-on-one basis. And that means that that reduces any negotiating room and advantage that we might hope to have as a region. The World Bank itself